So I have 15 minutes, and I will go through some recent thoughts. I'd like to thank Alan and the Core 77 staff. They've been incredible. And he's such a unique person. I spoke to him on the telephone for the first time, not face-to-face, and he asked me to do something new. And that's always very hard and risky. So I thought, nah, I won't do that. But then, you know, he noticed that I have the greatest assistant in the world, Amna Carrero over there. And Amna Carrero, and so I thought, oh, he noticed that. So that's special. So I made something completely irrational today, a set of ideas that sort of mixed around. So bear with me, and this is my gift to you, the chaos. So Alan gave us, the panelists, this homework. It's very sort of a New York intellectual. I only read a few sentences. The one sentence was what are the opportunities? I see that, and I get excited, so I went after that. I'm very interested in stupidity. Are we really dummies? My kids noticed one day that I look a lot like the dummy guy. You notice? So it's very difficult because of this. I was wondering about this dummies phenomenon, and I did Google two nights ago if there's something for idiots, and sure enough, they have books, The Complete Idiot's Guide, and I was wondering, why do we love to feel so bad about ourselves? I mean, I predict we'll have the Absolute Moron's Guide, we'll have the For the Pitifully Stupid You. I mean, we're going to keep on feeling bad about ourselves with this trend because, in fact, complexity, difficult things, hard to learn things make us feel stupid, in a sense. It's kind of sad. And so I think of vacation as the key to life. Maybe some of you have realized that your employer tries to work you to death. It happens. And I discovered that vacation is a very important concept. I am going after a 2.5-week vacation sometime in the next 5 years. I hit 2 weeks this year. It's pretty good. And on my vacation, I try to run away from simplicity because I wrote the book on simplicity and I wanted to stay away from simplicity. And I was walking around Cape Cod and at the Gap's all branding is all about keep it simple, and I was feeling kind of sick, you know. And then I opened up the Visa's brandings about simplicity, you know, now, and you got Philips also. Kodak likes to say keep it simple. Everyone loves this phrase, and so it's somewhat sad. Also, I never watched television, but I noticed there's a show called The Simple Life with this person, Paris Hilton. Anyone know Paris Hilton? This is a very interesting show. It's very soothing in a way. And I think that this Channel E discovered it's a very good program to play over and over again. And I thought this is also our hard coding of our simplicity mindset. Also in the Cape, it's a strange place, the Cape, because all the roads are very odd, and I'm pretty good at driving, and I saw this sign one time, this kind of sign, and I thought, oh, I get that, but I saw this sign. It's like, wow, what is that, you know? And I almost stopped, you know, and my kids were angry because I stopped to take a picture of this sign. I was like, what is that, you know? And so also, simplicity is sort of oversold. I mean, we had a house right next to the beach, and I was thinking, what if this guy were simple? It'd be like this, sort of bland and gray. But in actuality, we love complexity. We love a complex, beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous sky. We would never want it to be white and modern and aluminum, is the fact. And because I had this homework, I didn't really know how to answer it, but I realized that recently I really don't like technology, and it's always been a strand in my work. And if there's one thing I do, I love to see. And so one time I saw a presentation by David Byrne, the Talking Heads guy, where he showed pictures, and everyone was so bored. But he looked so happy, so I'm going to be happy too. I'm going to show you some pictures that I've taken in the past. This is my UFO picture. It's actually an airplane. This was in Colorado. It looks like the sexy woman playboy or the playmate kind of thing. Can you see that? Maybe my mind is too risky for that. Saw that too. I was walking in Lexington. You know, Lexington's a very bland suburb. And I saw this monitor kind of like hiding, waiting to die somehow. It wasn't like disposal date. It wasn't that. So it's very sad, kind of things like that. This was very sad. It was like a beautiful white moth on a black asphalt, freshly poured asphalt. This was like life and death. And I just really sort of stared at this for like at least 10 minutes. It was just so odd. Also, I mean, this is my favorite elevator. Door open in front. Door. It's fully operational, but I wasn't sure what to press. I liked that one. That was a good elevator. I like this in USA Today. It says preschoolers see red. And I thought, wow, this is really strange. It's supposed to be poinsettias, by the way. And so someone really kind of like used this sort of mind thing to make us think it's red, because it is red. And I love this sort of black and white picture of just red. I like fortune cookies. I was recently told by one to become a lawyer, so I'm actually after that. In the next 2 years or so, I'm going to become a law student, I think. I've been reading law books, but because I like shiny things, I get sort of like taken away from my law book. So this is all the wonderful solar patterns on this contractual type of mumbo-jumbo. I like to see, you know, like my kids love, I'm sure the best thing if you have kids is to give a camera to your kids. They take the wackiest stuff, you know. So I looked at my camera like, what is this, you know? And so it's they have this wonderful way to really kind of mess the world up. I love to make things. For a while, I was fascinated by the orange peels. I began to make orange peel sculptures. I discovered that if you leave the peel there, it grows into a shape. So I've trained one to grow into a cube. My wife didn't care for this, actually, but I like this. I like to cut things apart. One time I took all the icons from my applications, my software applications, and pasted it to my mouse. I made a very complex mouse. It made me realize that this mouse is so simple, but it's so complex. And so we think everything is simple. It's actually complex. We like it because it's complex in the end, is how I've always felt. And also the world is also, we don't have to touch anything to make things. By walking around, our world changes. For instance, I was walking around the neighborhood 2 months ago, and I saw the perfectly circular leaf. I've never seen one before. But as I approached it, it was actually oblong. So the walking experience made the circle for me. And these kind of things are what fascinate me. The fact that if you just sit and wait, good stuff happens. Like I was in the Cape one time, and it was a hurricane, snow. And then the next morning, it was gorgeous. And so these kind of happenings, I think, are massive computer graphics technologies called the Earth. And these are things we want to like take interest in, perhaps. This was a puddle. I was with my assistant, my former assistant, not as good as you, over here. And there was a puddle on the ground. And I noticed that it was the perfect shape of a heart. And so these messages from the world are always around us. I mean, I don't believe in museums. I'm sorry. Museums make us look at things. The world is much more beautiful than the museums oftentimes. Or like even when you're tying your shoe. I was tying my shoe 3 summers ago, and I noticed a strange projection on the side of a rock, which is actually the perfect moment when the sun hit the three-leaf clover and made a perfect sort of sharp-edged projection on the side of the stone. These kind of things drive me crazy. This is a student made a search engine, and I typed in love, and it crashed. It was beautiful, you know, cannot find love. So these kind of moments are very special to all of us, I think. I make things, too, on the computer still. I had an exhibition in Paris at the Cartier Foundation. I did 9 large projections, and these things I called I'm Hungry. This is my broccoli typewriter, and so I make these kinds of things just to play with the medium of technology, to try to understand it in some way. Linda Machen wrote this nice article about simplicity. Is Linda here? Linda, that was amazing. Simplicity is very big right now. I find it very interesting, and this is going to be in Parade soon, so people like simplicity. They want to talk about it, and simplicity to me came on a vacation. You know, I drew the word simplicity in the sand, and I discovered the letters MIT occur in the word simplicity. It's very strange, isn't it? It also occurs in the word complexity. So to me, this was a kind of a sign to look at this area of thought. 6 minutes. So this is my new theory. This is my new thoughts here. So if you have, who has kids? Who has kids? Who has kids? So kids always want more, don't they? If you have a small cookie or a big cookie, they want the big cookie. You can say the small cookie is better, it has Godiva chocolate in it, but they don't care. They want the big cookie. In the same sense, in the opposite sense though, if you say we have work to do, we have a little bit of laundry or lots of laundry. What do they want to do? They want to do less laundry. So in a sense, I think, this is something from yesterday, I discovered that if you are a consumption person, if you just want to consume, you want more. If you have to do more, you actually want less, is actuality. So there's somewhere in here, I think, another equation in simplicity I have to work on. I have 5 minutes. The laws of simplicity is something that I developed over the maybe 2-3 years now, and it's a book I created with actually Jesse Scanlon helped to make it sound like English. Jesse was over there. Thank you, Jesse. Helped make it sound more like English. And there are 10 laws and 3 keys, and I'll go over some of these laws. The first law is called to reduce. Now, reduction is always important because when everything is smaller, everything seems simpler. But this is kind of tricky. Let me show you here. I have some images here. So this is a watch I bought from Nike, and this is the manual. Have you ever seen these beautiful Nike manuals? They look so simple, but it's actually tightly compressed such that it just pops open into this gigantic manual. So reduction is kind of deceptive in a way. It looks so simple, but actually it's so complex. Or this is a new thing from Samsung. It's this black sort of obelisk that you're not sure if it came from some movie or something, but you flick it open and it becomes something. So this fact that you can simplify by reducing hiding panels is an important theme in designing for simplicity. This is soap from the W Hotel. And I almost stole this soap tray, by the way. So beautiful. And this soap is wonderful because it embodies the most important parts of the soap that we need. And so it's been reduced into its common components that are necessary and all that is necessary. The second law is the law of organization, which is about the fact that when you organize things, they appear fewer. It's much like the first law, actually. It's the fact that reduction can happen through organization. The iPod does a good job of compressing all the UI goodies into one single pack. When the second rev iPod came out, it was actually very hard to use because they took apart the controls. And the third rev, they all smooshed them all together and made them seem much more simpler, more alien. I was in Minnesota recently and I saw this machine here. It's kind of a little scary, of course, but I love the operation panel. So it was organized very clearly. Even I could use it. I wanted to use it, actually. But it gives you a sense of how organization helps to make things much simpler. The third law is the law of time. And time, to me, is the most important thing, going to my vacation sort of hypothesis, that we vacation because we have to rest. We need to take time to recharge. And to me, time is everything, and because we have 3 minutes. This is my favorite clock. This is made by an RCA student. It's a death clock. It has the number of days, years, minutes, seconds you have left to live. It's kind of sad in a way, but it makes you realize that every bit of time is important. People ask, why do older people like simplicity versus why do younger people like complexity? It's because younger people have a lot of time on their hands. They can waste all their time pressing all these buttons, figuring stuff out. But anyone who's over 40 realizes that, hey, there's time's running out. I'm not going to waste my time. I'll buy someone to fix that for me to save time. The fourth law is the law of learning. And people talk about the telephone is so easy to use. This is a video from 1927 that shows people how to use a dial telephone. I find it very interesting. You know, this idea, oh, phones are so easy, phone books are so easy. But in actuality, we've been programmed by industry to learn these types of interfaces. I predict in the future that soon there will be cell phone instruction schools. You know, they have these cars with the driving school thing. I believe they'll have Motorola Q. People have like the driver school kind of thing on top of their Motorola Q, et cetera. And this is my favorite example of learning.
Terrorist network, terrorist attacks, terrorist group.
This is George Bush talking about terrorism. But he's taught us very much that if you just say it over and over, you'll get it.
Terrorizing terror and murder. Terrorism. Terrorist, tool of terror and torture.
Talks about Iraq as well and weapons of mass destruction. This is by Michael Norris, an artist in Chicago.
Iraq.
So again, it's very clear. The fifth law is law of differences. It's the fact that complexity, if the world were simpler, we'd actually want it to be complex again, is the fact. If it became complex again, we want it to be simple. We desire simplicity because complexity is getting more and more is more and more prevalent. But once we make the world simpler, we'll want it back, is the reality of the fifth law. And now I have maybe seconds now. The sixth law, last law to talk about, the law of context, and that is that the most important law to me is that when you design things, you're just so focused on the object. You never think about what's around you. It's always this sort of bad habit of anything. You just fixate. But the best design is about everything around you, all the unmeaning things. An example I use is the wind chime. In Japan, you can buy these wind chimes during the summer, and it was a Japanese person that told me that they are the air conditioner in Japan. So because if you're hanging in the window and it rings, you're sitting down, you feel the wind, you feel cooler. So this idea of the context, the ambience around you being the actual design, being sensitive to it, I believe is a primary factor in designing for simplicity. And I'm done. Thank you. Questions?
I'm gonna ask you a couple questions.
Questions, go ahead. Yeah, questions? Questions? Okay, go over here. Good, thanks. Questions? I can kind of sing.
I guess I wanted to ask a question about, actually the last slide that you showed. I love the idea of noticing, common quotidian objects and imagery around the world. But the air conditioner is fascinating because it really points to this idea of signaling, which I think is a hot topic for you. And I'm wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about the role of signaling and where things might go right and where they might go wrong.
Oh, if you're talking about signaling the word in the IDEO book recently, that book, what do you mean? You mean that certain things signal you. Signaling, okay. Well, I mean, another example of that is the signaling phenomenon. Have you guys seen the IDEO book by Jane Fulton Surrey? Jane Fulton Surrey book? It's an awesome book, isn't it? It's a book of pictures and concepts and other examples of signaling she uses is, for instance, my favorite. Have you seen the one where there's like that steam on the ground, like water on the ground, and everyone doesn't walk through it. You're afraid, so you walk around it. And so the environment signals ourselves, and I think that Jane's book, as not a designer, but as a, I think she's like a, what was she, a cognitive psychologist, one of these type of very smart people.
Anthropologist,
exactly. This anthropological view of the world is much better than going to design school, I think. I mean, design school corrupts your mind into thinking that straight lines are important. In actuality, where the straight line is more important. Did that answer your question?
Perfect, thank you.
Next question. All done?
Thanks.
Maybe, let's take a question. Because, the audience, you always get ripped off at the end, right? Yeah. Let's take an audience question after each speaker, right? Yeah. It's got to be a great question.
What are the other four laws to simplicity?
Other four laws are...
Got to buy the book.
If you Google or buy the book, yeah. Free or not free? That's the question. Yeah. Thank you.